From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Since Roe v. Wade was effectively overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, putting abortion laws in the hands of states, crisis pregnancy centers have gotten a lot of attention all around the country. There's a new movie out. It's called Preconceived, and it takes an inside look at these centers, including Stanton Healthcare here in Idaho, as well as its founder, Brandy Swindell. Katie Dumke is an Idaho native, and she is the co-director of that film. And she sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, for a chat. So let's take a listen.
First off, remind our audience of what is a crisis pregnancy center.
So a crisis pregnancy center is a center that attracts women mostly with unplanned pregnancies. And these centers offer free services and resources, often with the intention of convincing women not to have an abortion.
I've known Brandy Swindell for quite some time, well before the origin of Stanton Healthcare, which has grown, by the way, to centers not only here in North America, but overseas as well. How did you get such amazing access to her and to Stanton?
So early on in the project, I realized how difficult access inside of this kind of very guarded world of crisis pregnancy centers was when in the fall of 2021, I drove my camper van to Atlanta, Georgia, which is the city with the highest density of crisis pregnancy centers in all of America. And I started just knocking on doors and asking to interview clinic directors. And unsurprisingly, I was turned away left and right. My team and I realized that in order to have a true window into these centers, we needed to approach the people who were really calling the shots. And we familiarized ourselves with the kind of key network organizations that connect crisis pregnancy centers across America. And we knew that they would all be at the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. So in January of 2022, we attended the March for Life and we met different crisis pregnancy center network organizations. It was a very exciting time for the anti-abortion movement because they were expecting this to be the last March for Life while Roe v. Wade was the law of the land. So through ingratiating ourselves with different crisis pregnancy center networks in DC, we slowly began to gain access to different networks. But still, we struggled to get inside an actual center. And it actually wasn't until the Dobbs v. Jackson decision was being announced in June of 2022 that I connected with anyone from Stanton. And what happened there is actually, in the days leading up to the Dobbs v. Jackson announcement, there was thousands of people gathered in front of the Supreme Court each day awaiting to hear if that would be the day that the Dobbs v. Jackson decision would be announced. And the day before the announcement, once it became clear that that was not the Dobbs day, it was a day where they were announcing a case on concealed carry permitting in New York. And so everyone started to disperse when they realized the Dobbs decision was not happening that day. But there was one man who stayed and put down his anti-abortion sign and picked up a pro-gun control sign. And this caught my attention because it kind of contradicted my expectation of ideological consistency between these two political ideas. And so I started talking with him and asking him about what he was doing there, what he believed, what he was fighting for. And that was Reverend Patrick Mahoney, who is Brandy Swindell's co-founder at Stanton. Through talking to him outside of SCOTUS, that led to an interview. That interview led to filming a symposium event in Boise just after the Dobbs decision was announced. And slowly that led to interviewing more people at Stanton and then finally being trusted enough to actually be able to film inside the center.
I have to ask, I mean, your film is out there now and has gotten plenty of attention. Have you heard from them since the film has been completed?
I haven't heard from them since I shared the film. When the premiere happened in March, we shared the film with the folks at Stanton, and I haven't heard back yet, but they know how to reach me, and I would love to hear what they think.
Is it fair to say that the folks at Stanton, Brandy Swindell in particular, felt as if they had the space to, quite frankly, tell their story?
I think that a lot of the reason why they were open to talking to us at that moment is that, first of all, they were in this moment of victory, and that what they had been fighting for decades was finally here. But it was also a time in which crisis pregnancy centers were getting a lot of bad press from the left, and not a lot of press that was talking to them directly. And so I think that they were wanting to be heard. And I think the reason that we were able to gain such access into the networks of crisis pregnancy centers is that we approach those interviews with respect and a genuine curiosity to try to understand their mindset and give them a voice in this film that we always knew was going to need the voices of both sides to bring out the tension that was so interesting to us at the start.
So interesting in that, and for our listeners, by the way, it's a must-see film. You don't tell us how to think, what to think, where to land in the debate. That said, I think it's fair to say that when you put these folks in front of a camera and when you put them in the front window, if you will, is it fair to say that caregivers at Stanton have a complicated relationship with the truth?
I think that would be fair to say.
Speaking of which, one of the things, as a matter of fact, it's right on their homepage, let alone part of their conversation with young women when they come in. One of their conversations has to do with what they call reversal of abortion pills. And you actually have experts who say that that's a fallacy.
Yeah. So abortion pill reversal was something that came as a surprise to me and my team because we had never heard of it before we got into the project and realized that this was something that the crisis pregnancy center industry was really pushing. Yet, again, it's this very controversial practice because there's been no testing to show that it's safe and effective. In fact, the one test that was seeking to do so had to be halted because of hemorrhaging of the women who were a part of the test. And that was by Dr. Mitchell Krennan at UC Davis, who we also were able to talk to in the documentary.
Another thing that they say and say often is that abortion can lead to breast cancer.
Yeah, and that's something that we found in a lot of the information given out at crisis pregnancy centers is really focusing on these supposed risks associated with abortion that are not proven.
In your film, we meet two extraordinary young women, Maria and Maliha, who are considering termination of their unplanned pregnancies. How did you find them? Because access to their stories is rather extraordinary as well.
Yeah, it was also a challenge to find women who were willing to talk about their experience. And we really wanted to find women who were in the middle of an experience. And Maria is a young woman living in Denver, Colorado, who had gone to a crisis pregnancy center while seeking abortion care and had found that the ultrasound was such an emotionally moving experience for her that she decided to go through with her pregnancy. And I met Maria through Christine Juergen, who is a anti-abortion advocate and influencer who works with crisis pregnancy centers to give women photo shoots for their babies and resources for their newborns.
Talk to me about Maliha, because her story is very unique in that she was also seeking care, but her story has several layers to it.
Yeah, so Maliha, who's originally from Pakistan, came to the US in her early 20s and soon found herself pregnant, didn't want to be, was looking for an abortion center, and found herself at a crisis pregnancy center. And her experience there really shaped the course of her life. She felt that she was deceived. She ended up having to travel to Colorado for the abortion pill, even though she could have gotten it in Texas at the time. And yeah, she felt that this experience was really deceptive and harmful, and she was able to get the care that she needed. And after that, became involved with abortion funding and abortion storytelling. And today she's the deputy director of Texas Equal Access, which is an abortion fund. And she's also, amazingly enough, hosting her own pregnancy resource drives.
Wow.
In which she's collecting resources for pregnant people in Texas without any expectations associated with sharing those resources.
And she has become a mom, but on her terms.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
How do you approach your work, this work in particular? Is it advocacy? Is it a form of journalism? Is it simply nonfiction storytelling?
So something that's always interested me in my work and has been a theme in my career is looking at kind of the invisible, intangible nature of belief and how it shapes our convictions and our actions. And in a way, that's what made this project so interesting to me. I would say I aim more to exist in the world of journalism over advocacy, but it's also kind of a muddy area in between sometimes. And I'm still kind of finding my tone.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.